Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I tried to keep Kala, but Raphael was having none of it. He wanted his dog back. So here we are in the last Sunday of Lent. And Isaiah calls out to us, "Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing." Now, depending on who you are, that proclamation could be great news or might bring tremendous consternation. It all depends. There are among us those for whom a kind of steady rhythm of life, a certain predictability, is a good thing. You know who you are. You're the ones who get up at the same time every day, and you have your coffee and your toast and strawberry, not grape jelly, and you get into your car at the same time or catch the same bus, and you go to work day after day. And when things interrupt that rhythm, it's difficult. You're predictable. Two eggs, over medium, hash browns, toast, coffee, every Friday, big city diner, no ketchup. And the waitress is always the same. Linda. Predictability and comfort. And then there are those of you for whom adventure and new things spell out life. You know those folks. They're the ones who open the menu and they just plop their finger down. Kimchi eggs with brown rice and furikake. Cool. You don't care who the waitress is. You don't mind at all if there is something strange and unusual that pops up in the middle of the day. You are the adventurers. This news for you comes as a welcome relief to the kind of boring rhythms that go on and on and on. But as Isaiah takes on the voice of God, no matter who you are drawn again and again into what God is up to. The question for many of us in the life of the church is God really up to something new? Or is God indeed immutable, unchanging, and always the same? It's a hard question. For most of us in the church, we really prefer immutability. You know, the people in the church and the church in general is essentially what business people call risk adverse. It's a kind way of saying we're chicken. We're afraid of change, aren't we? For the most part. I mean, think about the average church, especially the average Lutheran church, the average liturgical church. We've been singing the same Kyrie for a long time. And we get really, really excited when we change a couple of notes. Right? Well, we didn't sing it that way when I was a kid. How many times have I heard people say to me, "Oh, what happened to the old doxology? I loved the old doxology." And I always say, but at one point in life, that was the new doxology. It's just only been around for 400 years. It's almost brand new. But we don't like change. And yet, here is God. In this text in Isaiah, saying to us, "I am about to do a new thing." what will it look like? It will look a little like Paul, who for all of his life was quite certain that he was correct and upright and moral. And he says in this text that we read today, I was not only a good Jew, I was a Jew's Jew. I was a Pharisee. I was in the middle of all of it, and I loved God with all my heart, and I was a persecutor of you people who were trying to do a new thing. But then I encountered God in a new and different way. You remember the story about Paul on the road to Damascus when he encountered this God who said to him, no, I am not just the God of this people, but I am the God of all people. I am doing a new thing, and not only that, which Paul could have lived with that, I think. God, if you want to do a new thing, that's fine. But God says, and I want you to be a part of it. Huh? Me? And he becomes a part of it. What does God doing a new thing look like? It looks like Jesus sitting in a room with Mary and Martha. And even Lazarus, you remember him? The smelly dead guy? Even with him, Jesus is doing a new thing as he gathers together all of these people, these prostitutes and sinners and tax collectors, and breaks bread with them and heals them and shares God's word with them. This new thing God is doing looks like that. It also looks like a young woman pouring out costly nard, a perfume that's mined basically in the hills of Peru that would have had to travel over 2,500 miles to find its way to Bethany. And she pours out this costly stuff upon Jesus' feet, and we know, because we know the end of the story, it is a sign, an anointing of Jesus before his death. For there on that day, as he sits and eats, he is beginning to move toward Jerusalem, where God will do a new thing and send his only son to the cross to die and then to live. The difficulty is that for us, we sometimes look at new things and see their Brussels sprouts. We see there something distasteful and difficult, unfamiliar, and we hold it at arm's length, waiting for it to prove to us that it is good. But God keeps drawing us in to this new thing, this new thing called grace and love. God keeps asking us to listen to God, to see what this new thing might look like, and not only to observe it from afar and to say, gosh, that's wonderful, and put our blessing on it, but to be, like Paul, drawn into it and to live it, so that when God calls us to grace, that we forgive. That when God calls us into a life of service, we don't simply applaud those who feed the hungry and house the homeless and advocate for the poor, but we become those who do those actions for the sake of Christ. You see, the newness, this new thing that God is doing in the world is perhaps, as Bonhoeffer says, to set aside religion for the sake of faith, to not be caught up in our own wants and desires and habits. but be called into the habit of God, which is at times uncomfortable and unpredictable and a little prickly, and sometimes filled with the sweet perfume of justice and love and peace. That at times is disharmonious and difficult to listen to and uncomfortable, and at other times ringing with the sweetness of a familiar tune. As God's people, the church, we too have been anointed with costly nard, with the cost of Christ, who died on the cross that the world might be redeemed and that we might serve the world. So God truly is doing a new thing in these days. And soon we will see it begin anew in the light of Easter and the joy of the day of Pentecost, and in the life not only of our congregation, but the whole world. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Amen.